Thank you, ladies. If you would, go back to the book of Galatians, and I want you to go to the 6th chapter. And I'm going to be speaking out of the 6th chapter from verses 11 through 14. Our subject this morning is glorying in the cross of Christ. The Lord in His mercy had established several churches in the country or province of Galatia. Certainly He used this great apostle to establish those churches and further instruct them in the gospel of God's grace. And the Lord was very merciful to that area, and He had solid churches established, men and women made up of Gentiles and Jews who loved the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved the sacrifice of the Savior and loved to hear of salvation by faith in the Son of God without any works of the law. And so He writes this letter to them to speak to them, first of all, of the things of our Lord Jesus, but also to actually make some corrections of some things that they were listening to that greatly disturbed the apostle. He was a faithful minister, you see. He was a faithful steward of God. In fact, he makes mention of that in an earlier book. He's a minister, and that literally means a servant, one who, in the stead of the owner, as a servant, yet governs other servants. That's really what a preacher of the gospel is. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly not an apostle, as was this man and the other men that our Lord ordained as apostles. And yet, preachers of the gospel, God puts them in various locations where they rule or govern or guide the congregation in the things of God. He said He's a minister of the Lord, and being a minister of the Lord, that means attending to the needs of the people that were near and dear to Him. And on this occasion, of course, the people of the churches of Galatia. He also refers to Himself not only as a minister, but as a steward. A steward. As one who is an under rower. That's what the word literally means. One who's kind of out of sight, but yet doing a vital work. And that's what the preacher of the gospel is. The one that we put up front, the one that we want to be seen and observed and looked to and listened to, is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we try, as preachers of the gospel, we want to try and hide behind our Lord Jesus. And this was the desire of the Apostle Paul, but always, always seeking to exalt God and always enabling or prayerfully asking God to enable him to be of help to the people to whom he wrote. He's a faithful minister of the gospel, and he's a steward of the mysteries of God. And so he writes this letter to the churches of Galatia. And as you read through these all 6 chapters of the book, and I would advise you to do that at your leisure, it doesn't take long as you get into the book to find out he's bothered by something. And that which is very troubling to the apostle is that there were people who came in, Jews, who insisted that these Gentiles, and of course Galatia was a country or province of Asia Minor, and so there are lots of Gentiles in the congregation, but also some Jews, and there were some of the Jews who insisted that the Gentiles, to be really saved, to be really right with God, they needed to go back and keep the law of God like the Jews did. And specifically, they talked about the rite of circumcision. But that was just one issue, because really, when they mentioned that, they would put all of the Galatian people under the law of God. And this greatly bothered Paul. Because salvation and sanctification, they're not by works, they're not by the deeds of the law, but by the grace of God given to us as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves us and God sanctifies us in the Savior. Make sure you understand this. Every aspect of salvation, doesn't matter what you're talking about. You may be talking about election, or redemption, or regeneration, revelation, preservation, justification, glorification, all of those words that we love to use. The Lord Himself is the one who saves us, so all of those things are of God only. And they're only to be located in, they're only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need salvation? It's in the crucified, buried, risen Savior. You say, I want to be a sanctified person. It's in the same place where salvation is, because sanctification is holiness. And you see, there were people who got into the church of Galatia. They got into these assemblies, and they said, yeah, you know, we talk about the grace of God, we talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus, but if you want to be really saved, if you really want to be sanctified, it's works that will do it for you. And I'll tell you, the apostle, he is upset. He is upset. You know, you read the rest of his letters from the book of Romans all the way through. And if he wrote the book of Hebrews, and it's the only one he didn't sign, but perhaps he did, most likely he did. You read all of those, he kind of eases into his subjects, into the subject of our Lord Jesus, His person and His work. And he does it in a very soft and soothing way. But as he writes this book, this letter that went to all the churches in Galatia, he quickly gets to his subject that he was shocked that they forsook the gospel of grace, the gospel of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, and they started believing another gospel, which he says in chapter 1, is not a gospel at all. It's not good news at all. Listen, it is not good news that you must do something to either save yourself or sanctify yourself. You can't save yourself, and I've got news for you, you can't make yourself holy. Now, as children of God, we want to live godly lives. There's no question about that. We want to live believing our Lord Jesus and doing those things, conducting ourselves in a manner that is honoring to our Lord. Not out of a legal principle, but out of the principle of love and thanksgiving. We're not here this morning. We're not gathered together this morning because the law of God demands it. We're here gathered together this morning because we want to gather together and we need to hear the Word of God and we want to honor our Lord Jesus. We're here out of love for Him and thanksgiving for all that He's done for us by His bloody sacrifice. We're here to join our voices together in praise to Him and then read His Word and seek His face in prayer and listen to special music, and all the while we're honoring our God. We're thanking Him for all that He's done for us, and all that He does for us is necessary for salvation. You can't save yourself, and you can't sanctify yourself either. Some of you will understand what I'm saying and on this next statement that I'm going to make. Some of you may not, but there are people who believe in what they call progressive sanctification. That is, you're progressively growing in holiness. That is absurd. You either are holy in Jesus Christ or you're unholy. Amen. You don't grow in holiness. Just like you don't grow in justification. You don't grow in righteousness. You're either right with God or you're not. And you're either holy before God or you're not. And you see, these Jews who had come into the churches of Galatia, they said, to really be holy. Now, you've got to obey the laws of Moses. And this certainly upset the Apostle Paul. And so he writes this letter. And you know, it's interesting. Notice what he says in chapter 6 and verse 11. He says, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Now, in all of his letters, with the exception of the book of Hebrews, he certainly signs his name to all of them, having been inspired of the Holy Spirit as to exactly what to write. But with most of the other letters, and maybe with all of them, he dictated then what God gave to him to a secretary or to some scribe. But he starts the letters by identifying himself. He's Paul. And as he wrote, he said, I'm Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. And some of the letters, like Romans, Tertius was the secretary who wrote down what Paul told him to say. The Spirit of God came upon Paul. The Spirit of God gave him the words to say. And then Paul said to Tertius, write this now. You got that? Read it back to him, because it's got to be word for word, because this is the Word of God. And so he used a secretary or a clerk or a scribe of some sort who recorded his words and then wrote them down. But he says this in verse 11, you see how large a letter I have written. And then he says this, with mine own hand. He wanted them to know that he is so very much concerned with the false teaching that they were, many of them were kind of embracing. He wanted them to know that he took the time himself to write with large letters, perhaps this is an indication again of his poor eyesight, which many people think that was one of his issues. But he wants them to know, I wrote this myself. And maybe he didn't have the best penmanship, I don't know. maybe he didn't write as good as Tertius or some of the other secretaries that he used. I don't know. But he wants them to know, these words that I write to you in this letter, and the letters distributed to the churches in Galatia, he wanted them to know, I wrote this with my own hand. That's how much I love you. That's how much I care about you. You see, real, real love will be honest with people. He's not trying to write a soothing letter that it really doesn't matter what they're hearing from the pulpit. Just love one another and love God, and we'll all wind up in the same place. No. He wants them to know, I wrote this myself. And all of the criticisms that I've made are made for a good reason. First of all, for God's glory and for your welfare. You're either saved by grace or by works. Which is it? You're either sanctified by grace or by works. Which is it? And of course, he insists that it's by the grace of God. Now look what he says in the next verse, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, he says, here's what they do, they can constrain you to be circumcised, to go under the law of Moses. They want you to keep God's law. And it wasn't that they didn't mention the grace of God. They did that every once in a while. And it wasn't that they failed to mention the Lord Jesus Christ. They certainly did that. And I feel certain that even these Judaizers, and that's a good name for them, these legalists, they would talk about the blood. Probably talk about the blood, the book, and the blessed hope, like a lot of preachers do. But mixing into that was works of the flesh. And he even says this, the reason that they want you to go under the law is for this. Look at the latter part of verse 12. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. These Jews wanted to save face before other Jews. So yeah, they'd talk about grace every once in a while, use the name of Christ every once in a while. But they had to preach the law of Moses lest people persecute them, especially the other Jews would persecute them because they preached the cross of Christ. It wasn't that they didn't mention grace, cross, blood, things like that. But that wasn't the very thrust of their ministry. Their ministry was really, their message was really works, works, works. And you know, I've been preaching 45 years. I've heard a lot of preaching. I still listen to preaching on sermon audio. There are many men who will use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll mention the word grace. They'll talk about the Bible. They may even occasionally talk about the blood. But their message is how you should be obedient and live your lives in obedience to God's law and to look within to see if your faith is real, being evidenced by your works, your works, your works. And so, well, what's wrong with that preacher? Well, I'll tell you this. When I look within, all I see is a sinful man. That's what I see. And really, I see no goodness in me at all. Amen. If you look within, you're looking in the wrong direction. Amen. And this is the issue with a lot of preachers and even some grace preachers. They always have people looking within. But you see, assurance of salvation does not come to you by looking within. If you want to feel horrible, if you want to be convicted, if you want to be stripped of all supposed goodness, go ahead and take a look within. Because there is no goodness nor soundness in you by nature. The only hope we have is outside of us. Amen. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And His work of redemption. You see, and I was talking with somebody about this just the other night. To preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified is not to just drop His name every once in a while. Well, He really preached Christ this morning. Did He? Did He preach the gospel of Christ? Did He preach the good news of substitution and satisfaction? Well, I tell you, our preachers all the time mentioning Jesus. Well, lots of false prophets mention the name of Jesus Christ. If they didn't, people would run them out of the churches. And they'll talk about the Bible. They don't much preach out of the Bible, but they'll talk about the Bible. You see, there's a big difference between preaching what you must do, how you must live, where you must go, where you must not go, how you're to use your time, how you're not to use your time. There's a big difference between preaching those things, works, and preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
We're to glory only in the gospel. And listen, we're not under the works of the law in any way, shape, or form.
Amen.
That's what Paul says. He says in Romans 8, you're not under law, you're under grace. Let me tell you something. Grace is a much more powerful motivator to live right and to do right and to talk right than law is. But you see, that's the way preachers, a lot of preachers, that's the way they use the law. They use it as a whip. Or they dangle before you rewards. If you keep the law, you'll get more when you get to heaven. The more you do, the more you'll get. Well, let me tell you something. If God has saved you by His grace, He has given you Christ Jesus and all things in Him. He can't give you any more than Christ. He's redeemed you. He's saved you. He's justified you. What does that mean? He made you righteous. He established righteousness for you by His substitutionary sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. You see, with these Judaizers, they would drop the name of Jesus Christ every once in a while, but only to avoid any persecution from the other Jews. In fact, as he says in verse 12, they desire to make a fair show in the flesh. They want to look good before other Jews. Yeah, look good before other Jews. And the reason they did it was, well, first of all, that they would gain more followers. More followers. More disciples. And the more disciples they gathered around them, the other Jews said, good job. Good job. You brought those heathen Gentiles, those heathen dogs, you brought them in and you have put them under the law of God. We applaud you for that. That was their goal. But they had another goal too. Because as they brought people to live under the authority of and the bondage of the law of God, they would undermine the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And they get enough following, they'll say, now listen, what we're preaching to you about obeying the law, is that apostle preaching the same thing to you? you don't need to listen to him anymore. You better be listening to us. We'll tell you how to live. We'll govern your life. We'll lay down for you rules. We'll tell you what to eat, what not to eat. We'll tell you what day that you should not work, and the other days it's okay if you work. We'll take care of all those things. In fact, we will run your life.
Amen.
And you know, there are people who they will cow down to that kind of preaching. And I say, you know, oh, it really beats me up, but I need that. I guess this is the way I'm going to be more holy. And then they say, well, I can't live up to that. Well, confess your sin and try harder. Try harder. And here comes this man of God. And he says, don't listen to these people. I read to you there out of chapter 3. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. You've been bewitched. It's like somebody's cast a spell over you. I came to you, I preached Christ crucified, buried, risen again. I preached the blood of the Son of God. Redemption. I preached salvation by grace. I preached we're righteous with God only because of the Lord Jesus and His work.
Amen.
That He is our righteousness, He's our sanctification, He's our holiness. And He's our redemption. I preach to you Christ is all. But you listen to these people, and they're in essence saying, the Lord Jesus Christ is not enough. He said, you're so foolish. You're a bunch of fools. That's plain talk, isn't it? Plain talk. Let me tell you something. When it comes to your salvation, and when it comes to the things of our God, that calls for plain talk.
Amen.
That is preaching that can't be misunderstood. Not of works, Paul said in Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. But you see, these Judaizers says it is of works, at least partly. And in essence, they were saying, if you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to be saved, oh, I really want to be saved, preacher, then you got to fall in line and do these things that we tell you to do. But he says this in verse 13. He says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. In other words, the same men who are telling you to keep the law, they don't even keep it themselves. He says, they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh, that they can brag about how many more followers they've got. And by preaching the law works, they avoided the persecution of the cross of Christ. These men didn't have any real interest in the law of God. They're looking for results. And as I look at religion today, and it's always been this way, false religion. It's a numbers game. That pretty much sums it. It's a numbers game. The more y'all got more people in Sunday school than you had last year. Are you growing over there? Somebody asked me that the other day. Are you growing over there? I said, I hope we're growing in grace. And how much we need grace. And in how thankful we are for grace. You see, growing in grace, people talk about progressive sanctification or growing in holiness, and they say that is the same, that's equal to growing in grace. No, it isn't. That's not right. You're wrong. To grow in grace is to grow in appreciation and gratitude for God's sovereign grace given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's growing in understanding that apart from the bloody sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, you'd have been lost forever. It's growing in the realization that if the Spirit of God had not quickened you by His mighty, mighty regenerating grace, you'd still be dead in trespasses and sins. And this leads to more thanksgiving and appreciation to the Lord. You see, these so-called, I would call them, self-appointed guardians of the law, they were looking to make a name for themselves with their legalism. And listen very carefully. Legalism is very subtle error. It's very subtle. It's sneaky. Suddenly, you'll find yourself doing things to be accepted by God. Wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Our acceptance before God is in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ Jesus. And really, nothing you do or don't do will affect your acceptance or non-acceptance before God. Our acceptance is based solely upon the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's our only hope. Beware of legalism. Talked to a man not too long ago. He said, preacher preached morality. Hey, I'm all for morality. But that's not Christianity. That's not salvation. Telling people how to live, running people's lives. A lot of preachers like to do that. I'm very content to stand before my Master and say upon the witness of my own ministry and messages, I have endeavored, though as a sinful man, I have endeavored with all of my heart to brag on Christ Jesus and Him crucified for sinners. That's the only thing that a preacher's to do. We're to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And then he says this in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory. Verse 14. Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses a very strong expression. God forbid. You see, he's talked about these Judaizers in verse 13. They want to glory in your flesh. They want to glory in more followers. They want to glory in having more this Sunday than we had last Sunday. They want to glory in their numbers. He said, God forbid that I should do that. And you can just hear in his writings here how stern he is here. He's very adamant about this. God forbid, that's not the way we are. He said, that's not my ministry. I only glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory. What is glory in? I only boast in. I'm only satisfied with. I only delight in. I'm only thrilled by our Lord Jesus Christ and His cross. That is His substitutionary work. You see, the legalists, they boasted in, they were happy about, they were delighted by the number of followers that they got. And that's why they kept on preaching the deeds of the law. And here's what Paul is saying. What they boast in, I absolutely refuse to boast in. I don't know whether God's purpose for 13th Street Baptist Church is for us to grow or to shrink. I don't know. Well, whatever happens to us, we will glory as long as I'm here and as long as the other two preachers were here. We glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God will do His work. We leave it at that. And He says this. He says, the latter part of verse 14, He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now, I think this can be the secular world. So I don't have any use for the world. But I think He's talking about the religious world. He said, the religious world doesn't have any use for me. He said, that's all right. Because I don't have any use for them either. They don't approve of me and my message. That's all right. I don't approve of them and their message. And in the end, when we stand before God, He'll sort it all out. Who spoke for Him? Who magnified His darling Son? And who didn't? He boasted in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean by cross? Well, He means the substitutionary, effectual, redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about a wooden beam upon which the Lord hung. He's not talking about a sign that people make. He's talking about the doctrine of the cross, the gospel of the cross. Here's the good news. A Savior has died. He died for the sins of His people. He died that God might be just and justify the ungodly. He died to bring in everlasting righteousness. He died to put away all the sins of all of His people for all of time and all of eternity. And that's the gospel that this man, the Apostle Paul, preached. And we glory in that gospel, that we boast about, we brag about our Savior and His redemptive work. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're all about here. The doctrine of the cross. And as far as these Judaizers, these works mongers, they'll speak ill of us. That's okay. I'm not trying to get along with everybody. I'm not trying to be a friend and a brother in Christ to everybody who professes that they know Jesus. My job is to be a true minister and steward of the mysteries of God. Fellow said, I'm not trying to win friends and influence people. I'm trying to tell people the truth about God, about ourselves and our neediness, who Christ is and what He did for sinners. And I say, do you need Him? Do you need Him for salvation? And do you need Him for sanctification, for holiness?
Amen.
And I say, with all honesty from the bottom of my heart, I need Him for everything. I'm the most needy person in this building. But I'll tell you what, in Christ, I am complete. I hope you can say that. There's a wonderful hymn in our hymn book. Turn to 118. It's called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.